On May 6th, my alarm clock woke me up at 3 a.m. I jumped out of bed, got dressed plenty warm, and hurried to my car in the motel parking lot in Crookston, Minnesota, and headed east to a Nature Conservancy prairie restoration site with observation blinds to watch prairie chickens. I arrived at the grassy parking area a little before 4. The sky was so clear that the Milky Way glowed and there was no wind at all. A short-eared owl barked at me as I walked the half mile to the blind, blue reflectors marking the way. I walked slowly to the tune of horned larks singing in the darkness. I had to shine my flashlight over each wall of the low-slung plywood shack to find the door. It was even more pitch black inside, so I needed my flashlight to open the windows, set the legs on my tripod at the right height so later I'd be able to look through my spotting scope out one window, set up my sound recording equipment, and get myself situated so I could take photos, videos, and sound recordings without making any noise, sitting in one seat without stirring for about 4 hours. That all took about 15 minutes. By the time I was ready and finally turned off the flashlight, it was still completely dark outside, but a few more horned larks were singing, a snipe winnowed overhead, and a nearby savanna sparrow piped in. That soft period between night and dawn is hard to pin down. I can never actually watch the Milky Way disappear. Suddenly it's just gone, and I realize there are far fewer stars up there. And then I notice that soft pink wash low on the horizon and wonder at what precise moment it was suddenly there. And as I wondered, I suddenly heard it, a low moaning sound in triplets, a soft muffled woo woo woo, like someone was blowing over a pop bottle. The sound grew as the prairie chickens drew closer, and I could now make out some silhouettes. Long before sunrise, I could pick out 4, then a dozen, then 20 lumpy gray shadows in the dark. I was transfixed. I stared and stared as individual birds transformed themselves from vertical standing grouse-type birds to bizarre horizontal creatures, tails a-quiver, long neck feathers suddenly rising up into a beautifully jaunty headdress, bare eyebrow skin inflating into brilliant orange arches, and bright orange throat sacs bordered above with bright pinkish purple, inflated and jiggling as they made that woo 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 sound. And as if all that weren't enough, the birds would suddenly start pattering their feet, making a soft motor sound. The prairie chickens didn't seem able to bear looking at one another while making their most strangely beautiful displays, and when one bird did glance at another in display, it couldn't seem to bear it either and would suddenly charge it. The birds were often paired off in stare-downs, but when doing this, they'd deflate their air pouches and lower their neck feathers as if to lessen the pressure. Suddenly, one would turn away and set to displaying again. It was one of the richest, most beautiful, and silly and colorful displays of testosterone I could imagine. At the most, I counted 22 males displaying, the sound swelling and seeming to flow over the entire earth, and I couldn't even imagine what it had been like in the 1700s when these leks had hundreds or even thousands of birds instead of 24. If this was just a tiny fraction of what it would have been like, it was still as rich and memorable an experience as I could bear. I could feel my heart pounding and my eyes watering as I sat there in wonder. I have photos, videos, and sound recordings of this wonderful morning on my blog entry for last Saturday at birderblog.com. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.